The Zohar Kaddish says something fascinating. Tosas quotes in Maseches Megillah that Be'emes, although Esther was taken captive by Ahasuerus as his wife, not once did he lay a finger on her. Each time that he called for Esther, the Zohar says that Al Pi Kabbalah, Mordechai, Esther, they sent like a female shade to go, which looked like Esther, in her place, and so therefore Esther was completely clean from the tummy hands of Ahasuerus. Question is, how was it, what's chus were they zeiche to such a nace like that? That's like a nace within the nace we're not so familiar with. Something to be understood. We also know that the nes very much connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Zohar says, "Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim," that the word kiblu is actually spelled v'kibel, and it's a reference to Moshe. The Moshe Rabbeinu, v'inyan of Matan Torah, kimu mashe kiblu kfar. The Medrash goes so far as to say that Eliyahu went to wake up the Avos HaKadoshim to let them know about the Gzeira Kush against Bnei Yisrael, and they weren't so responsive. And he went to wake up Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu answered the call. And he said to Eliyahu, "Is there a tzaddik down there who can awaken the people?" Eliyahu said, "Yes, his name is Mordechai." So Moshe then says, if that's the case, then Ani Milamala and Mordechai Milamata, and together we'll be able to be Mevatel the Gzeira. And furthermore, the Medrash says that when the Megillah refers to Mordechai as Ish Yehudi, which is one of the few compliments the Megillah gives Mordechai, so the Medrash says, Mordechai Bedoyre, K'moshe Bedoyre. Because we find the word Ish by Moshe as well. V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam, which is perhaps the greatest compliment one can possibly receive, especially from Hashem. So we see that the idea of Moshe, of Mordechai Kim Moshe, is instrumental in the Nes. And that's something in Yemir Tashem to be understood as well. Another lesser known piece regarding the Nes, the origin of the Eitz of Haman. There's different opinions in Chazal as to the significance of the Eitz, where it comes from. But according to one Man D'Amar, it comes from the Teva of Noach. That Haman was hung on the Teva of Noach. So Yemir Tashem will try to explain that. And the Gemara tells us
that Ogon.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Different mahalach now. Less man the yad alishna bishak Haman. That as wicked as Haman was, there was nobody who was as nifty and evil when it came to the inyan of Lashon Hara. And lastly, the mitzvah of drinking on Purim Ad Lo Yada is unique. It's something which is exclusive to Purim. And time on me habayi to try to explain the connection between drinking on Purim such as shir and the nes of Purim. So let's begin. Just a question to lead us into this segue of the shir. So the Torah tells us that Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. And the Torah records the Lashon Hara as being Ki Isha Kushis Lakach, which literally translates as that he took an Isha Kushis. But Rashi comes along in Chazal, and they literally take these words and turn them upside down. It's not that Moshe took an Isha Kushis. It's that Moshe married Yisro's daughter, Tzipporah, who everybody would agree she was so beautiful, like everybody would agree that a black person is black. And it doesn't mean that he took her as a wife. That wasn't what Aaron and Moshe Miriam were talking about. It was the fact that he divorced her that they questioned. So Isha Kushish Lakach, according to the way that Chazal interpreted, means that the Moshe Rabbeinu, that he divorced Tzipora. Now, if I were to say a word like that, you would throw me out of the room. Only Chazal can say that, and if Chazal say it, it's Emes Lamita, it's Moshe Mitzrayim. But we have to explain, what did Chazal see here? That they taiched Isha Kushish Lakach as being like that. Now, the Torah is called Torah Moshe, and we know very little about the actual life of Moshe. We see when he's born, the episode of him thrown into the river, and just a few words about him growing up in the house of Paroi, and then he kills a Mitzri, he disappears, he comes back, Moshe's 80 years old. What happened to Moshe? So Chazal tell us in the Medrash in Yalkut Shemayni that as soon as Moshe killed the Mitzri, it said that everybody was afraid of Moshe. And because he used a certain shame, Shem HaKadosh, Paro was afraid, and Bilam is afraid, and they tell Bilam, this is what I'm telling you, the kids are from the Yalkut Shemayni, that Moshe wants to kill you, Bilam. Bilam and his sons, his two evil sons, they run. And the Medrash goes on to explain the episode of Moshe and Kush. We're just going to take a few pieces in explaining it. But Bekitzer, Bilam comes to Kush, and Kush is in the middle of a war with the Bnei Kedem. The king's name is Kankum, Melech Kush. He goes out to fight the Bnei Kedem. As such, he leaves Bilam and his sons in charge of the Malchus. When he's done with his war with the Bnei Kedem, he returns to the land of Kush, only to find that Bilam and his sons have made a coup. They've raised the country's walls, and now Melech Kush is waging a war on his homeland, trying to get in against Bilam and his henchmen. And then the Medrash describes the whole way, the whole Eitzah, as to how they end up penetrating the walls, but that's due to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu comes. Moshe comes, and they see that he looks brilliant. He's a very special person. Moshe gives them an Eitzah, and through Moshe's efforts, they're able to conquer Bilam. And Bilam has to run, and he flees back to Eretz Mitzrayim. In the meantime, though, the Melech Kush dies, and Moshe Rabbeinu is declared the king of Kush. And the Medrash goes on to explain that Moshe reigned as king in Kush for 40 years. And he was given the queen to be his wife. And for the 40 years that Moshe was king in Kush, he didn't lay a finger, never touched the Malka of Kush. And the Medrash tells us that this Rebbetzin, this queen, says to the advisors, I don't know if this is such a good idea to have Moshe as king. He hasn't approached me once, ever, and he doesn't worship our gods. I think that we should ask Moshe to resign. And that's exactly what happened. Moshe is very happy to do that. He returns, he goes from there to the house of Yisro, where he finds his wife. That's where he finds Tzipora. And replacing him was the son of Kankum. His name was Menachem. He replaced Kankum as the king of Kush, and they lived happily ever after. But Moshe Rabbeinu, in this chapter in his life, although the Torah doesn't record it, it's a fascinating story. And what we need to highlight here and to explain and to bring out is the tremendous level of the Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can imagine the Moshe, he was the king of all of Kush, and he can have anything, and he won't even lay a finger on the Malka of Kush for 40 years? With this we can explain why it is that Moshe was able to immediately afterwards find Tzipora, which was his Zivuk from Sheshes and Mevereshes. Because when a person is only Bektusha, with Tahara, he's Zechet HaZivuk. And the same thing is by Yosef as well, that Yosef was omid b'nisayon in Mitzrayim, which is called Ervas Ha'aretz, which is Shtopt and Zima and Erva. And then he refuses Eishes Potiphar. He becomes the Mishnah L'Melech in Mitzrayim, and the Medrash tells us that every day they were throwing unclothed women in front of him repeatedly, and he turned them down time and time again, and from that he's Zechet Tafan Asnas, which is his Basheret from Sheshes and Mebereshes. And in Tikkun Ezayir, it says in Tikkun Chaf Aleph, just a klal, and this is just parenthetically, that a person's shalom bayis goes as good as his shmiras habris goes. In terms of a bachur finding his zivuk, but in terms of how much harmony there is in the home is in accordance to a person's own level of kedusha v'tahara. We're always finding our zivuk. We're always making it better and better. And according to our kedusha, creates a certain strength in the inyan of shalom bayis. Al kapanim, Moshe Beinu, he's oimid b'kedusha v'tahara in Kush, goes to Midian, finds his wife, returns to Mitzrayim. And then we know the story from there on. It's safe to say, that Moshe Rabbeinu left a tremendous impression in the land of Kush. Because there's a klal in the Kedusha that Kedusha always leaves a roshim, like shemen. If shemen goes into a cup and you try to pour it out, there will always be a little drop of shemen of oil left on the bottom of the cup, which you can't remove just from trying to pour it out. And wherever Kedusha travels, it leaves a roshim. Rishimu de Kedusha. We spoke about the Rishimu.
Simpson, yeah.
Right? What?
And Simpson.
The Tzimtzum and the Rishimu. Yeah, that's a klal in Kedusha. There's always a roshim. Now getting back to our questions, based on this yesod. Achashverosh, the Gemara tells us, he ruled over the whole world. But the way that the Megillah describes it, as having reigned over 127 provinces, Mehodu v'ad Kush. It could be the fact that he reigned over Kush meant that this Rishimu de Kedusha that Moshe left in Kush was making a difference in the Nesipur. You can even go so far as to say that the words Mehodu v'ad Kush are a remnant to Moshe. In general, the word Hodu is a lashon of or. Hod is or. Kush is like black. My Rebbe Shlita has many beautiful tirades about Hodu v'ad Kush and gematrias as it pertains to or and choshech here. But Hodu is a remnant to Moshe. Moshe is the Indian of or. When he was born, Vatera Oysa Kitoivu, he lit up the house with the light. From Sheshis Mebereshis, Moshe was zochet to the Karnei Hod. Mehodu is Moshe. Mehodu ad Kush is a remez to Moshe in Kush. And then the lashon of the Megillah is Meya Sheva Ve'esim Umeya Medina. Right? Even Ve'esim Umeya, without the word Sheva, is a remez to the years of Moshe, to the 120 years of Moshe. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was Omen ben Nisayon with the Malka of Kush would explain one of the questions which we began with. How was it that Mordechai Nasser was zeichet to send this Shida that she should walk away untouched by Achashverosh? But the pshat is that it was in the Schus of Moshe. Like we opened up in the questions, we said, Moshe is instrumental in the Nes. There's a Mordechai who is Moshe. There's Moshe Milamala, Mordechai Milamata. Moshe Milamala means that the Roshim that Moshe left, that's called Moshe Milamala. And in the same way that Moshe refused to lay a hand on the Malka of Kush, it did not allow, it prevented Achashverosh from laying a hand on Esther HaMalka, who ruled Mehodu v'ad Kush. We have to speak about the Lashon Hara. The root of all Lashon Hara in the Torah comes from Miriam, what we began with. That the Torah says in the Sheish Zechiras, Zachar is Asher Asa Hashem Elokecha Miriam, Baderech Batzeisa Mitzayim. Which Chazal understand, it's a reference to the Isra of Lashon Hara. That Miriam and Aaron, they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. The actual words the Torah say are, Ki Isha Kushis Lokach. That Moshe took an Isha Kushis. Chazal say that it's a reference to having divorced Zipporah. And it could be that what Chazal are being maramis to is that, yes, the Lashon Hara was the fact that Moshe divorced Zipporah. But why would he divorce Zipporah? It could be that there was something that there was flawed about Moshe Rabbeinu which had it be that he had to divorce Tzipora. What was that? It could be the episode in the earlier years of Moshe, in the Yemei Ne'urim of Moshe, that they tainered that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Cush, and Isha Cush is Lakach, that he took the Isha of Cush, that it could be that they suspected Moshe of perhaps over 40 years of having touched the Isha Cushes, or perhaps even from the mere fact that he married Isha Cushes, they may have thought that that was some type of a pagah. And the Indian is that Haman went back to that Lashon Hara. That he looked in the Torah and he saw that there was that the root of all Lashon Hara is a Lashon Hara against Moshe, ki Isha Cushes Lakach. But because he was Ma'irer, that Inyan, that kitrug against Moshe, which is why Moshe wasn't able really to go back to go into Eretz Yisrael, because everything was downhill from there for Moshe Rabbeinu, because Tzaddikim like Aaron and Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. That he was trying to tap into the Lashon Hara against Moshe to bring down the Jewish people. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that when he saw that the Gura fell out in Chodesh Adar, he was happy. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu died during that month. Moshe wouldn't have died if not for the Lashon Hara against Miriam and Aaron. He thought that the reason why Moshe died was because Moshe was rightfully accused for doing something like that. But that's not why Moshe died, because of this Lashon Hara. It's simply because the Gemara says that he who speaks Lashon Hara kills three people. The one who speaks it, the one who hears it, and the one that who it's said on, even if it's not true. The mere Lashon Hara killed Moshe Rabbeinu. But the fact that he was naki, that he was clean from Isha Cushes, that's 100%. But he tried to be Ma'oirer, that kitrik against Moshe, but in reality he was Ma'ir the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was Ami Ben Yisrael in Cush, and that schus, which Haman was Ma'ir, was exactly what protected Esther from Achashverosh. So it's to his credit. So we understand the root of the Lashon Hara in the Torah, and since Haman goes there, that's why there's nobody who knows Lashon Hara like Haman. He's able to be Ma'ir the original kitrik against the tzaddik of the generation, which is Moshe, which is embodied by Mordechai in that time. Which is why he hopes to kill Mordechai, like he kills Haman, through the root of Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. We understand the Moshe Milamala and the Mordechai Milamata. How is it that Esther wasn't touched by Achashverosh and the Schus of Moshe and Cush? And now just to understand the Teva of Noach in the midst of drinking out the Loyada. The Teva of Noach, the Gemara tells us that there were three people, things, who were nichshal in the Teva. Because since the world was Bitzar, there was a din of Isra Tashma Shamita in the Teva. The Kelev was nichshal in this, the Oirev, and Cham. And the Gemara says that because Cham committed this Aveira, Lakaba Oirei. That's why he became dark and his skin became black. So some understand Lakaba Oirei means that his skin actually turned dark. However, others say that it meant that his children would become dark. Who are the children of Ham? Cush and Mitzrayim, and two others. And the Yad Raman, the Gemara, learns that from this ziva, which took place between Ham and his Isha on the Teva, Be'isser, from that zivug came Cush. Cush was born. So we see that the Teva Sneach is the place of the origins of Cush. Why? Because there was a man who took his wife without Rishus, Cush was born. So the whole roots of Cush come from the Teva, and an act of immorality, so to speak, between Isha and Isha. Hence, the Teva Sneach is what hangs Haman. It's the Teva Sneach as it relates to the Inyan of Cush. Because he spoke that Lashon Hara against Moshe, ki Isha Cush is Lakach, so Mameila, let Cush come. Let Cham come and to hang Haman. And that place which he tried to hang Moshe, so to speak. Why do we drink Adul Yada? We know that as Noach left the Teva, he got shikr. He drank Adul Yada, and then Cham came and he did Averis for him, on him, against him. The Chazal tell us that the Parsiim, that they're big drinkers, they drink a lot of wine. Tes kabin shal shechras nafla loylam. Ten kabin, I should say yud, 10 kabin of shechras came into the world. 9 took the Parsiim, and 1 took the rest of the world. this galus was a galus of Madayim Paras. Hashverish is the Melech of Paras. It's a place of Yayin. So by drinking Adulayada, it recalls this inyan of the Shaykhis. No, I'm sorry, not Paras, the Kushim. I misquoted the Gemara. The Gemara says that Tes Kabin fell to the Kushim, and one fell to the rest of the world. So since Kush is the Shirish of the Neis, Mihoidu Vak Kush, so Mamela, through that Sinar, the Neis comes into the world, and that Sinar is Adal Yada, Shechris, like the B'nei Kush. And just to conclude, what's interesting is that we know that the whole Neis of Purim is one where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Royas and Noilat, that he saw what would happen. And the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Kush was all just setting the stage for the Neis of Purim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw well in advance. Like we find, even it says that when Haman comes to power, so all the events which the Megillah describes before, that is all a refu akarin l'maka. The fact that we give shkalim, we read Parsha Shkalim, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Haman would give shkalim, so Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, you have to give shkalim. There's a refu akarin l'maka. Everything is the fact that Hashem sees what will happen. The very first time that the Torah mentions Kush is in the Gan Eden, by the four rivers. The second river called Gihon, it's Soiviv is called Kush, it surrounds Kush. So Rashi is bothered by the question, Chazal, what do you mean Kush? There's no Kush in the Gan Eden. Kush isn't born until many years later. So Rashi says, it's Nikar Shem Alkein HaAsar. It will eventually be Kush. That's the Mara Makom. What we see is that Kush is a hint, is a simen to the inyan of seeing into the future. And since the whole Neis of Moshe coming to Kush established the Roshim from which the Neis of Purim would come from, it was Alshem HaAsid. So that's why when the very first time the Torah mentions Kush, it's Alshem HaAsid. What's interesting is that in that Medrash, when it describes the fact that Moshe becomes king, it uses the Lashon of Vayasim Kesem Malchus Berosho, which is the exact Lashon. The root of that Lashon is the Lashon of the Megillah, Vayasim Kesem Malchus Berosho. Then when Esther becomes queen, Mihodavad Kush, that's the Lashon that the Medrash uses exactly when it refers to Moshe. I'll just end with the following parenthetical note, is that when Haman dies, when Haman is killed, he's killed on the account that he falls onto the bed of Esther. Hagam lichbash asamak im bebayis. The king says, "Were you trying to take my wife while I'm in the house?" So why is that a midah connected midah? Because he accused Moshe of taking the Malka of Kush when really it was false claims. So here his misa is exactly that the king accuses him of laying hand on Esther Malka. It was false claims. He didn't try to. Chazal say Hamalach Dachbo. The Malach pushed him onto the bed. But why was that okay? Isn't that unfair that the Malach should push him and he should die from that? But no, it's the exact tour in which Lashon Hara was against Moshe. That's exact misa that Haman has as well. There's some other things, but we're going to hold it here. I wish you be zeichet to Mashiach Yisrael Makar. Yeah. Fiat Kampar.